The scripture that I'd like to share with you is from the New Testament letter to the Ephesians from the Apostle Paul. It is in chapter 5 that begins, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live a life in love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, be subject to your husbands as you are to the Lord, for the husband is the head, just as Christ is the head of the church, the body of which he is the Savior. And just as the church is subject to Christ, so wives should be in everything to their husbands. But husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, in order to make her holy by cleansing her with the washing of the water of the word, by the word, so as to present the church to himself in splendor, without a spot, without a wrinkle, without a blemish, without embarrassment, any shame, any kind of thing. Yes, so that she may be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands, you love your wives as you do your own selves, your own bodies. For he who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hates his own body, but he nourishes and tenderly cares for it, just as Christ does the church, because we're members of one body. Scripture says, for this reason, a man and woman shall leave father and mother. A man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." Just sit tight a second, some of you. I've been doing this sermon series on the questions that the congregation has. And somebody asked me, and I actually, after the last service, found out who it was. Most of these questions, I don't know where they come from, but this one I do. But that doesn't matter. The question was, I'd like some advice, really wasn't a question, on marriage lasting forever. And I thought that was pretty important and it was worth talking about. So I thought, well, how am I going to do that? And I didn't just want to stand up here and rattle off a lot of stuff. And so I remember something that I did at Gettysburg, that Kathy and I did at Gettysburg years ago. And it really blessed the church. And I'm going to do it again today with a bunch of lovely volunteers that are going to bless you as they did the first church. And how are we doing with the chairs? Are we good? Are they all set up? Oh, Gail doesn't need one. Gail's going to do her own thing. So put Gail over there on the end, if that's possible. Let me have the people come up that's going to serve on our panel. And I'll tell you who they are. Come on down. I'm not going to ask them. Well, would you like to know how many years they've been married? Kathy, tell them how many years we've been married.
38
years. Go ahead, Ed.
43
for the Garns. I'll tell you who they are in a minute.
I'll let my wife say that.
That's because you forgot last time. 40 years.
40 years. How about you, Mike? Yep, you're on.
17.
Bump it up.
51.
Oh,
45
years. And if you take all those years 45. Together, yeah, you better say the same. And you add them together collectively, there's 234 years of marriage experience up here. These people are not presenting themselves as experts. They're presenting themselves as people who've been married. And maybe their testimony, they might say something that'll minister to you and say, oh, okay. I can relate to that. I have my wife, Kathy. Kathy's going to talk for the noggles most of the time because I can't be Oprah Winfrey and be the panel at the same time. That's what I told them this is going to be like. And then I have Ed and Denise Garns. By the way, their son took second place in the National Turkey Calling Championship. Isn't that something? Down in Nashville, Tennessee. And then I have Gail and Bob Appenzeller. Mike Oldham. Mike is here with Gloria in spirit. She wants to be here, but today's her Sunday to work. And they kind of worked it out between them. Mike said, if you don't mind, I'll come and I'll talk. So he's going to come and talk for the two of them. And then I have Harold and Laverne Yeager. And clear on the end, I have Vicky and Rick Schreiner. And so that's who's up here. And we're just going to be ourselves. And what I want to start with is tell them, Ed, since you have the microphone, and you got the best story, quite truthfully. We had such a good time in, upstairs. So how did you two meet? Oh, come on, tell.
Make sure I get this. Well,
hold the microphone up.
I kidnapped her. And legitimately, this girl had gotten a new car, and it was a Tasty Freeze, and there was 4 employees. Well, 3 employees and I jumped in this car to take it a ride. It was a Mustang, and I kind of wanted to drive a Mustang. And we were going down the road and drove it. And she finally, the girl said, hey, we got to get back. It's time to get back. Because there was only one girl in the Tasty Freeze running the whole thing while we were going. And I kept driving. And I said, well, I said, the only way I'm going to do that is if this girl says she'll go out with me. And she wouldn't say, so I kept driving. Finally, she said, hey, I'll get back. I'll go out with you. That's the first time she lied to me. Because she didn't go out with me when we get back.
That's good. How'd you meet, Mike?
From mutual friends.
Mutual friends introduced you. Okay. Laverne, you have a good story. How'd you two meet?
First grade.
Yep.
And he did not like me, and I got provoked. I combed my hair, and it went out on his desk, and he'd get angry. I found hairspray. Now he combs his hair all the time.
He combs his hair all the time. Kathy didn't say how we met. I mean, she said we went to high school together and eventually started a date. But the truth is, we went to a community Thanksgiving service together. I had just broken up with my girlfriend, and her boyfriend and her had broken up some time ago. And we sat together for this community Thanksgiving service. And afterward, I asked her if she'd like to go out sometime. And I believe that was the 22nd of November, if I'm right on that. And that really was our anniversary for what happened afterward, all the 38 years later. Somebody else, Gail, how about you?
I'm glad you asked her to do this.
Yeah, I asked her to do that.
I was going to a Bible study, and the friend of mine at the Bible study introduced us.
That's right, I forgot that. Rick, how about you and Vicki?
10th grade chemistry class.
Yeah, say more about that.
She wouldn't go out with me because she said she didn't date guys that weighed less than she did. At that point in time, I was on the wrestling team, and I know this is unbelievable, but I weighed 95 pounds on the wrestling team. And actually, I was a wonderful wrestler out there.
I'll bet you were.
The first match I ever had, I won.
I'll bet you were.
So I thought I was good. The second match I wrestled, I got pinned in 22 seconds and broke the school record.
All right. So you all collectively said I do, to have and to hold from this day forward, for richer or poorer, for better or for worse. Now, you got married. And I want those of you that have been married or you are married, think about this yourselves. When you got married, those early times, what did you think marriage was going to be about? What did you think it was going to be like? Okay? When you first got married. Anybody take that wants to?
I thought it was just going to be as wonderful as it was when we were dating. So I really had my eyes opened.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And, you know, she said that upstairs, and I was thinking to myself, and I don't want to talk too much. One of the reasons for divorce, I've heard this as a pastor, is because people are not prepared to think that they will feel any differently than they feel the day of their wedding. They're not prepared for that, okay? And suddenly, You found out different. Yeah. Harold, you have a microphone. You want to say something?
One of the things, I said this upstairs, but I would say it here too. I thought it was going to be like John Denver's song, Almost Heaven, West Virginia. And then I found out that I thought she was divine, but then I found out she was human. But I did think about this, a marriage. You get to know that each of you have some strengths and each of you have some weaknesses, and you don't see those. Love is blind. I used to hear a little poem says, don't make out at the garden gate, because love is blind, but the neighbors ain't. But it's true, when you date, you don't see any imperfections. And you're dating, and then you marry, and you found out that I married a human being, not an angel, but I married another human being.
That's right. Anybody else before I go on? Anybody? Yeah, Denise?
Well, as I said in the first service, I thought it would be like a Warden June Cleaver on Leave It to Beaver, because I thought their marriage looked perfect, and it's like Ed said, he turned out to be the beaver.
That's what he said. Yeah.
Part of that's true.
One of the things that was, why don't you say, Kathy, about us, yeah.
What did I say?
About conflict.
Well, one of the things that was true of us when we were young is that Joel grew up, his parents had a lovely marriage for 70 years, and they really got along very, very well. But part of the reason that they got along very well is that his mother didn't really have an opinion about anything. And then Joel married me. And in the beginning, one of the things that was really interesting to us, and Joel said this, his parents never, ever once had a disagreement in front of the children. So Joel had this idea that you never disagree. And in my house, my parents bickered a lot, which I'm thankful that Joel kind of taught me that you don't do that. They loved each other, but they bickered a lot. And I just thought, like, if you didn't like something or you weren't happy about something, you said it, you might argue about it, and then a half hour later, you went out to dinner and all was right with the world. Well, in Joel's household, if ever, even as a child, you got yelled at, that was supposed to make you good for the next 6 months. So in the beginning, it took us a while to navigate that.
Mm-hmm. It didn't need to keep it high. That's good. What's been, did you want to say something, Mike? You sure?
Yep.
Okay. What's been the biggest blessing? What in your years of marriage, Gail, you had a good answer for this. What's been the biggest blessing in your marriage so far in the years you've been together?
I get nothing. Go ahead, you go first.
To me, the biggest blessing has been these last few years. As you get older, you don't expect so much out of the other. You accept them for who they are. And to me, it's gotten sweeter with time. And we still have our times, don't get me wrong, we're human, but I think it's for me, it's now.
As you've gotten mature.
As we've matured.
And you have a thing called wisdom, which you didn't have when you were younger.
That's right.
Yeah, that is right. Bob?
Now, I know I'm going to get in trouble for this, but I'm going to say it anyhow. I think spontaneity and a little bit of spice and everything nice and all that goes with it. I can remember one time when she was in a Bible study with a group of women, and they were going through that book Maybelle Morgan wrote called Men Are from Mars, Women Are from Venus. And I came home from work one evening. I noticed the blinds were pulled. Uh-oh. That's not like Gail. I went up, the door was locked. There again, that's not like Gail. So I opened the door, went in. She was in the kitchen. Nothing on but an apron. Now you tell me how I reacted, and then you want to guess how you react.
I want to tell him how you reacted. You know what he did? He goes, oh my God. That was it.
Oh, look at the time. I'm sorry, sir. May the grace of our Lord. Okay, thank you for that. Anybody else want to respond to that?
I don't remember that story from the first time.
I don't remember that story either. I'll bet you're not going to forget it now. Yeah. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. What has been... I've lost control. I've lost control. Did you want to say anything, Mr. Mike? No, okay. What's been the biggest...
We've elected you to follow that.
What elected me to follow that? I don't think I can follow that. But sugar and spice and everything nice, I like that, Bob. I understand the spontaneity in your marriage. And don't forget to laugh. And don't forget to have fun. And the older you get, Denny, he knows it's true. The older you get, you take your life so seriously. But the older you get, you don't. And that's a blessing. It's a blessing when you're free not to take yourself so seriously. It really is. What has been the biggest challenge to this marriage thing that you signed up for? What's been the biggest challenge for you, Mike?
Learning that the fact that I do not know how to dress myself.
Mm-hmm. Keep going. I liked what you said upstairs about being together all the time.
I know a lot of people don't quite understand Gloria and I's marriage because we're not attached at the hip. If we had to be in the same room all day, every day with each other, one of us would probably be dead, the other would be in jail. It's just a toss-up on which day it would be. But I respect her and what she likes to do. She respects me and what I like to do. I know when we first started dating, I pretty much told her, I said, you'll see me 6 months out of the year. The other six you won't. I'll either be on the water or in the woods, one or the other. And at first she was fine with that. Then one day I was out in the woods and she happened to be off, and then she wasn't fine with it. And I had to remind her of that little situation. But since then, I mean, we get along just fine. I mean, there's times, you know, we spend time together. I mean, we do things together, but I don't make her do things that she doesn't want to do. And the same with her. She doesn't make me do things that I don't want to do.
What you're saying is you have developed a healthy situation of shared activity and individual activity.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, where you're right. And that's what you said. In fact, if I can remember right, he said, I'm an only child, and she wasn't. And when we first got married, my ideal thing about being married was that I would have company all the time. And then I came to find out I didn't want company all the time. I think that's what you said.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's okay to do things individually.
Yeah.
What's been the biggest challenge in your marriage? Give it to Gail, Bob.
We're not trusting him. Our biggest challenge is being alone. When Bob and I got married, he was 32. I had two little boys, so we married. We had an immediate family, and through the years, we have taken care of his dad, my mother. We've always had somebody in the house. We have three sons. We've always had somebody, and now we have my sister who lives upstairs, but spends just as much time downstairs in our place. He wants to add to this, but I'm not going to give him the mic. My sister was supposed to move here and stay for 3 months when my mother had a stroke. She's been here 13 years. And he hasn't killed her. That's our biggest challenge for us alone.
I got the patience of Job.
Well, Bob, before you give the microphone, tell about you being a parent. As soon as you got married, you were a parent, and that was a challenge for you, right?
About when you married me with the kids.
Right.
You're talking about going down to the funeral? I hope. We struggled with the fact is that Gail was divorced with two small children. And so after talking to several ministers, we decided that it was going to be okay to get married. Because the one minister told us that if I couldn't keep my hands off of Gail. I better marry her. But the thing that really sealed it for me was we were heading for North Carolina and her dad's death. And John was in the back seat with his head between us and my big Ford LTD, and he was looking back and forth. And I said, John, what are you doing? Because I could see him in my mirror. He said, are you going to marry my mother? I said, I sure am, John. He whammed his brother and says, we're going to get a dad.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, that's nice.
Nope, never did.
Denise and Ed, what's been your biggest challenge?
I tried to think about this earlier, and I really can't think other than just trying to keep the balance of everything with work and your home life and your family. And we've taken care of my dad with cancer and helped look after Ed's mom and dad. And it's just been it's hard trying to balance all of that. But other than that, I really can't think of anything else.
Ed, you shared something upstairs. Remember what you said? I do.
About getting being up, being the boss.
Right, exactly.
Being in charge. I've always felt like I had to be in charge. Head of the household, that meant, everything went through me and I made the decisions. And I found that I'm responsible for them, those decisions. But it's some of the decisions need to be made jointly and not just what I think. And I said about it might have been a later question, but it was about the women's intuition, that you need to listen to that. What your wife says and the thoughts, they really do matter, because they look at things in a little bit different way than you do. And especially with me being with that kind of personality of being kind of bossy like that it's nice to have that calmness of thought, that intuition telling you something, rather than just you always making the decisions. It's the pair of us together that's how it works.
Yeah, that's good. Kathy, you're looking up in your, what are you thinking? Yeah.
Well, actually, I'm thinking I chaired this in the last service, but I don't know how long Joe and I had been married, but we went to a marriage enrichment seminar, and they taught us the work about there being five different languages of love and people love people in different ways. And the thing we were supposed to do is we were supposed to make a list, like, this is the way that I feel the most loved, like when somebody does this for me. And then you were supposed to take those five love languages and rank them according to what was important to you. And Joel was supposed to do the same thing, and then we were supposed to share. And literally, I had listed mine, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. My list, his list was my 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And we found out that for many years, I was trying to show him love in the way that I wanted love, and he was trying to show me love in the way that he would have wanted love, and we were kind of doing this. And that was really revolutionary for us.
Yeah, the five languages of love, affirmation, personal touch, quality time, acts of service, and gifts. And gifts, the way I say I love you with gifts.
He spends too much money.
Love you with affirmation. I love, which they are my number one and two. They're number four and five for her. And personal time, quality time and personal touch are her one and two. And they're down on the list for me. And we had to work at that. We were saying I love you the wrong way to each other. And we work at that. Yeah. Worst thing? But not worst thing. Most challenging thing? Anybody want to speak to that over here on my right?
I was raised in a household where my mother was the boss. She uh-huh. wore the pants in the family, so I thought that was going to be the way it was with us. Well, when I learned it wasn't that way, I was very upset about things. But we worked that out. But that was one of the hardest things for me to learn. I was not the boss. So that's it.
Thank you for sharing that, Vicki. Harold?
I grew up in a Mennonite household. And as a part of a Mennonite wedding in those days, there was always a sermon. So I remember this, and when I think about the word, what challenges have you faced, I think about this. A minister in Lancaster County was talking to an audience, and he said that he was talking to the groom and the bride, and he said to, he heard this one time, this man got married, and he said to his wife, his new wife, "You don't make pies and cakes like my mother did." And she replied and said, "You don't make dough like my daddy did either." But I did think about all the things that could rip a marriage apart. And for us, and I shared this in the first service, we have three daughters, and we try to do everything just right. Just right. And to see sometimes, to see them thumb their nose at that is a thing that I was, in our home, I was the hammer. You know, I'm used to school administration, and I'm used to snapping my fingers and people better move. And Laverne was the opposite. And if there's one thing that could have divided us, it was when we encountered problems that we didn't know how to deal with. I dealt with my way. She dealt with her way, dealing with each of the girls.
To stay with that just a minute. How did you get through that? With her, with Laverne had her way and you had your way. What did you work on?
Well, this is terrible to tell an audience, but we learned how to fight.
Ah.
And it's something that now, for those of you who don't know me, I still serve in ministry and worked with a couple just this weekend on a marriage situation. I had their wedding, and now they're back to me for counseling. But it used to be whenever we had a disagreement, and now you get a glimpse into our home, I was a yeller. And I mean, I can turn it on. And she was a crier. And that's the way she would fight back with that. And what, eventually what we did was I learned to tone it down, and she learned that maybe I had some good points, and I learned that she did too. But you moderate. I had a school psychologist one time that we hired the second one, and the second one wasn't as good as the first one. So I said to the first psychologist, I said, "What's wrong with Bill?" And he said, "He's like a square stone. He needs the corners cut off." And I had some corners cut off. And so we learned, even though, you know, you need to be united in the way you deal with your family, but we learned that her ways had some good points and I did too, but I couldn't be the hammer and she couldn't give in all the time.
Yeah, and you speak for a lot of us and you speak for me. I think that metamorphosis has happened in our family too. It's happening in our family. Yeah, that change. Let's deal with a question we didn't get to deal with. Yes, we've got to quit, so let's do this. Somebody out here, and I don't know who it is, but somebody out here is thinking of getting married. Now, if you had one thing to say to a person that's thinking of getting married, one piece of advice, and you, that's all you get to talk to them about, what would you tell them from your experience, 234 years experience up here? Ed?
You're in it for the long haul. So many people give up so quick. The argument that you have, you don't get the chance to round that stone off or to square it up like it should be. You just give up and you want to leave. Don't give up. Just keep working at it. It gets better and better and better. It's always changing to the good. That's...
I mean, 43 years. 43 years.
Yep. And yeah. I feel the same way. You have to have that commitment. It's not so many young people today, I hear them say, "Well, if it doesn't work, I'll just leave." If you're going into marriage with thinking that, don't get married, because it's a life commitment. It's a vow that you make to the person that you are marrying and to God.
Denise, you were a young bride. You were a young bride. And because of your age and Ed's age, there people would have said to you, you're not going to make it. But here you are. And you did, because you stuck with the commitment. Bob?
I think you got to learn, if you don't already have it, you got to learn communication skills. You got to learn to communicate with each other. Never let the sun go down on an argument or a fight. And if you want to have fun, men, and they get to struggling like that, just put your arms around them, hold them good and close, and say, "I'm not going to let you go until this is solved one way or another." I think you got to learn to communicate whichever way. You got to meet them where they're at, they got to meet you where you're at.
Thank you, Bob.
I would say to any young person getting married, and to everybody that's already married, accept the person that you're marrying and respect them, because we are all individuals, and too often we want to try to change each other, and that never works. And also, I'm going to add, because you didn't answer that last question.
That's right.
Your faith.
Yes.
Hang on to God. He will get you through it, and lean on each other. There's nothing better to hold a marriage together all these years than God. And if you hold on to each other, you'll be able to do that. That's how important that is.
Anybody over here? What would you say?
Don't rush into it. If you just met, you've only been together for 2-3 months, don't decide, okay, this is going to last forever, and jump right into it. Gloria and I were together for 10 years before we got married.
Were you really? 10 years? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wanted to make sure. That also, a big thing is respect.
Uh-huh.
Respect her opinion. Respect the things that she likes to do, she don't like to do. And the third thing to go along with that is just laugh.
Yeah.
You have to.
Kathy and I think that too.
If you don't, you're going to get crazy.
Mm-hmm. Learn to laugh. Learn to laugh at yourselves. Yeah. Harold and Laverne?
My wife worked for a man here in Chambersburg who said he was a businessman, but he always said you make your best money in your buying. Now, quite frankly, I do a lot of weddings, have done, will do, and I'm amazed at who picks who. You do your best in when picking a person. I really believe that, and I agree wholeheartedly with Mike. But I tell people you need to connect a number of different ways. There's all kind of sex education in school today, so the physical part of marriage, most of that is known at least, if not experienced by the time people come to you for weddings. But I also think there are two other dimensions, because we are body, soul, and spirit. Make sure you can connect emotionally. That means you like the same things. You follow the same paths. You like the same, you like music. You like being together with people. Whatever it is that you can connect emotionally, and make sure you connect spiritually. I dated a girl before I dated Laverne, and I could take you to the place and take you to the time. She was of a tremendously different life experience than I was. Remember I said I grew up a Mennonite. She was far from that. But I said, Rosa, I said, I cannot marry you. I will not. I started to have feelings for her. I said, I can't do that. I loved who she was. She was a nice-looking person. We had a lot of the same interests, but our spiritual part were worlds apart. And she started to cry, and I said, it just would not ever work. So you do your best to make a marriage go in picking the right one.
Ed and Vicky? Yeah, I'm sorry, Rick and Vicky. I messed them up the last time. I called them Vic and Ricky. So.
Yeah, I don't care for Ricky.
Yeah, I know you know. Rick and Vicky.
I think maybe one of the most important things that I would give anybody advice at.
There okay. You go. Yeah, you're good.
Okay, what I would give you advice at would be to fill your heart and fill your lives with gratitude on a day-by-day basis. I think I've spent 45 years saying, thank you, Lord, for my baby.
Oh, well, that's profound. Thank you. Vicki, did you have anything to add to that?
It's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Okay, thank you. And Kathy, I'll let you have the last word. No, I didn't mean that the way it sounded. Look at the time. Okay.
Well, actually, what I was going to say, and Joel might have even known that I would say this, but
no, I didn't.
I think it takes two people who say, we are not going to get divorced. Like, we're just not going to let that happen. And we are not going to stay stuck. Because I think there are a lot of people who have been married a long time, but they perceive that they're stuck with each other. And I think it takes mutually a husband and a wife to say, we're not going to get divorced, but we're not going to stay stuck either. And we're going to find the world that's between those two. And with Christ's help, we can find it.
Yeah, amen. That's what I figured you'd say. Yeah. Let's, what do you think? Were you blessed? Was it nice? I mean, give them a round of applause. Come on up, praise man. Thank you, panel. I am so pleased that we did this and so happy. Thank you, thank you. Went really well. Your answers were great, and both upstairs and here. So you can go back to your seats. And I'll let the praise band take it over from here.